This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Praise the Lord, and thank you so much for joining us for this service. I just want you to know I'm thrilled and so excited. And I truly believe that we have a word in season. I think that you're hearing a lot that maybe is not so encouraging, but I believe today that we have a word from God's word that can be very beneficial to you. I realize that most of you are home, but I do encourage you as a family to gather around and just pause everything. Right now, just pause everything. It can wait for just a few minutes while you just gather around God's precious word. You may have your Bible and want to follow along, but if you don't have it, we have scriptures, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is what God's word says. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over." And by the way, they did pass over. And we're going to pass over too. "And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from the place and you go after the ark of the covenant. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before.'" I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about we've never been this way before. We've never been this way before. I am convinced that our nation and our world has never experienced anything quite like the coronavirus situation. It's affecting all of our lives. It's affecting everybody's life, I'm convinced, on some level. It's affecting some people's life physically. And certainly we prayerfully pray for those that have been diagnosed. And if that's you, I just want you to know as a pastor and a church family, we're lifting you up in prayer. We're praying for those that mentally and emotionally and spiritually and certainly relationally it's affecting people. Because people who would normally get together, parents sometimes with children, or maybe you have adult parents that are in a convalescent home and you're unable to see them because it's affected us greatly socially and relationally. It's affected people financially. I mean, it's a madhouse. The other night, Barbara and I went to the grocery store. We went to Walmart and literally go down the toilet paper aisle, and it's a madhouse. It's all been wiped out, no pun intended. Certainly, this is affecting us. And I thought about this text that I read that simply said, "We have never been this way before." And then I researched the context of the text. The children of Israel had been through much. Literally, they had been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. They had an exodus, of course, out of Egypt. And they get to the Red Sea. And when they encounter this massive body of water, they've got the Red Sea in front of them. They've got the Egyptians coming behind them. And they're between a rock and a hard place. They're eventually in a desert, and in a desert they get very thirsty, and they feel like that we're literally not going to make it. And God allows water to come from a rock. There are millions of people out there, and they're hungry, and they wonder, how are we going to survive? We had food back in Egypt, and God literally rains manna. He rains bread down from heaven. But now they come to the Jordan River. They've experienced all that, but they get to the Jordan and they say, we've never experienced anything like this before. And you've got to understand what was actually taking place. The Jordan River was, during this season of the year, it was at flood stage. It was at flood stage because they had just gone through the winter, and the snow on Mount Hermon was melting and flowing down. They were experiencing spring rain. Literally, the Jordan River was 100 feet wide, and they said the outflow to the banks of the Jordan was a mile wide. So they get here and they say, there's no way. We can't cross. We can't cross, but we can't go back. We're not going to make it into the promised land. We're just not going to make it because we've never been this way before. Couple guys, they were dear friends, and one night, one of them went over to the other's house, and he had a big sign out front. And this is what the sign said, beware of dog. I mean, it was a massive sign, beware of dog. And about that time, a little Yorkie, 5 or 6 pounds, came running out. And his friend said, you're not going to scare anybody with that dog. He said, no, I'm not going to scare anybody with that dog, but I will scare them with the sign. And I'll tell you what I believe, folks. I believe there is a dog, but if we're not awful careful, we won't see the dog because we're so focused on the sign. And I believe today we're so focused on the sign, we're allowing fear to control our lives. We're allowing fear to cause us to question everything. We're allowing fear and doubt to take up residence in our hearts. But with affirmation, I say to you what the great apostle Paul said to a young preacher and his son in the Lord in 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Friend, God does not want you to be controlled with the spirit of fear. Fear breeds fear. And I want to encourage you that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, when you get to the place like we're at right now, when you get to the place that you've never been to before, how do we handle it? Because certainly we're all, folks. I mean, we got 330 million Americans, and we're all at a place. Hey, we may have came here on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now. What do we do when we're in a place like we've never been before? I want to give you 4 things that God gives us right out of His Word. The first thing I want you to see is this. God wants to give you courage. God wants to give you courage. I am convinced that God wants every one of us to be courageous. I think we have to face our fears. I learned that early on in life. When I was in elementary school, I had a student that was constantly picking on me. And I probably didn't even understand the terminology that day, bullying me. And this student was constantly picking on me. And finally, one day, I was sitting in my desk, and courage raised up in my heart. And I turned around to her and said, leave me alone. Well, the truth is, God wants courage to rise up in every one of our hearts. God wants courage to rise up in your spirit. And God tells us that we can be courageous. You see, Pastor, in light of everything that's going on, there is no way that I can be courageous Yes, you can. And God tells you how. Look what the Bible says. Joshua 1:9. God knew that they were going to come to the Jordan. God knew that they were going to be scared to death. And look what God said. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. What? How do you do that? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He said, I'll tell you how you can be courageous. You can be courageous because God is with you. You want courage in your heart? You claim 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You claim Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? You claim Romans 8:37 that says we're more than conquerors. No, not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amidst the coronavirus, I want to say to you, God is with us. Amidst the coronavirus, I want to say to you, God has not abandoned you. God is with you, and God will never leave you nor forsake you, and God wants you to be strong, and God wants you to be courageous. When you come to that place that you've never been to before, God wants to give you courage. There's a second thing I want to say to you. God has always been faithful. All my life, thou hast been faithful. Faithful is the Lord. I love what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that hath promised. Friend, we don't live our lives based on explanations. What's going on in our world right now? You can't explain. I can't explain. We don't live our lives based on explanations. We live our lives based on the promises of God. And though my heart may ache, and though my heart may be pounding, I want you to know something. God is faithful, and God will see us through. There's a great verse. It's in 2 Timothy 2:13. Look what it says. If we are unfaithful, you say, well, Pastor Benny, through all this, I've worried, I've been stressed, I've been pulled at my wits' end, I've not looked to the Lord like I should, I've not depended on him like I should. Pastor, I've leaned to my own understanding, and perhaps that's you. Maybe that's all of us in some ways. But look what the Bible says. If we are faithful, unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. I want you to know, God has always seen us through. 1999, the West Nile virus. I want you to know, God saw us through. Y2K, remember about 20 years ago? When you couldn't get any water, you couldn't buy a generator because the year 2000, the world was coming to an end. Well, let me say something. It didn't come to an end, and God saw us through September the 11th when those towers were brought down. But I want you to know something. The Bible says the Lord is a strong tower, and we'll run into it, and we shall be safe. The Lord is a tower that cannot be brought down. In 2001, anthrax attacks, but God brought us through. 2003, the SARS virus, but God was faithful. 2006, E. coli. 2009, the swine flu, But God saw us through. 2014, the Ebola virus. 2016, the Zika virus. But I want you to see something, folks. We made it through. And we made it through because God is faithful. I thought about this. I thought about Joshua here at the Jordan. But then I realized something. Every generation had a water experience. Every generation in the Bible had a water experience. Noah had the flood. Moses encountered the Red Sea. Joshua, it was Jordan. Elijah, it was Jordan. Elijah, it was Jordan. Peter, remember Peter? It was the Sea of Galilee. Remember Peter? Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water. You know, sometimes people give Peter a hard time because he failed. But I've really always admired him because he got out of the boat. And I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. He got out of the boat. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there was the great Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked on the Mediterranean. But God saw him through. And I want you to know, every one of those water experiences, God was faithful. When you get to that place that you've never been to before, God wants to give you courage. When you get to that place that you've never been to before, God has always been faithful. When you get to that place when you've never been to before, keep the right focus. Keep the right focus. I love what the scripture says in verses 3 and 4. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Let me briefly explain. The ark of the covenant was a sacred chest. It was laden with gold. And inside this sacred chest that the priest and the Levites carried was the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod was in this chest. Manna, a jar of manna. But what that chest represented, ladies and gentlemen, it stayed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and in the temple. It represented the presence of God. And what God said to those people in verse 3 of the text, he said, when you see the ark move, when you see the priest and the Levites with the ark, and they're heading toward Jordan, they're heading across Jordan, he said, you go after it. Now, he said, focus on the presence of God. But look what verse 4 says. It says, yet there shall be a space between you and it. Let me explain. The Ark of the Covenant is here, hypothetically. What if the people had been right here? Well, those in the back couldn't have seen the Ark of the Covenant. So he said, you separate the Ark of the Covenant and have the people stay almost a half a mile back, where in the distance, everybody can see the Ark of the Covenant. What he was saying is don't let anything get between you and looking to the Lord. Don't let anything distract your focus. And I say to you today, don't let anything distract your focus. Don't let anything, ladies and gentlemen, get between you and God. Don't let CNN, don't let Fox, don't let MSNBC, don't let anything get between you and your focus upon God. There was a man in the Bible that was in much like situation like ours, and he said, I don't know what to do, but God, my eyes are upon you. Here's what's so interesting as we go back to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. It says, and Joshua told the people, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now wait, not right now, but tomorrow. Not right now, but in the future. You said, Pastor, right now it's not good. Perhaps it's not. But I want to say to you, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon the author and finisher of your faith. Just keep looking to Jesus. There are some verses, they've become very special to me. They're found in Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 4. They've kind of become my verses over the last few weeks. And this is what these verses say. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Now wait. Wait, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Right in the middle of Corona, I am going to bless the Lord. Right in the middle of Corona, I'm going to praise the Lord. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See, folks, when you focus on the Lord and you start praising Him, look what happens. My soul. Well, what is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You said, Pastor Benny, I'm emotionally drained. I'll tell you something. If you start blessing the Lord, if you start praising the Lord, I'll promise you emotionally you'll feel better. Not because I said it, but because God's word says it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Now look at verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord. What does that mean? It means to see God for who He is. See God for how great He is. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, our God is greater than Corona. Our God is greater than anything we're going through. See God big. Magnify Him. Magnify God and minimize our problems. See, folks, let me tell you something. You can see your problems in light of yourself, and you'll feel bad. But you can see your problems in light of your God, and I'll promise you, you'll feel much better. But look what verse 4 says. It says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Ladies and gentlemen, it starts out with praise, but it ends with prayer. You say, I'm in a state of panic. Well, friend, you'll stay in a state of panic until you get in an attitude of praise and focus on the Lord and quit focusing on everything around you. I know, folks, we got to check what's going on. I know we got to be conscientious of our surroundings, but it's not healthy for you to stay glued to the television 24/7. Get on your knees. Get in God's word, because God wants to give you courage. God has always been faithful. Keep the right focus. Then the last thing I want you to know, we'll make it to the other side. We will make it to the other side. See, they come to the Jordan River and they're terrified. They feel like we're going to drown. Our children are going to drown. But we've got no recourse. But I want you to know something. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. And I truly believe that God brings us to points of desperation. And by the way, we're there. God brings us to points of desperation that He might bring us to a place of dependence, because He's going to bring us to a place of deliverance. But it begins with that point of desperation. That point of desperation that I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon You. So God says, step out. When you see that Ark of the Covenant move, you move with it. You keep your focus on God. And you know what the Bible says, folks? It says 20 miles up the river. That river was flowing fast and furious at flood stage capacity. But that river just flowing, just flowing, just flowing. And it looked bleak to those people. It was just flowing and flowing and flowing. And folks, we get the reports and it's coming at us and it's coming at us and it's coming at us. 20 miles up the river, God did this. And that river stood up like a wall. That's what my God can do. That's what your God can do. With men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that jammy from flowing like that stood up like that, and the people made it over on the other side. And let me say something, devil, we're going to make it over on the other side. And you can't stop us, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Devil, you can't stop us, because if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to give you a couple verses, folks. These verses would make a backslid Presbyterian shout. Psalm 66 and 12, we went through the fire. And by the way, we're going through it. And through the water. But the Lord brought us out. And friend, he's going to bring you out too. He's going to bring you out. And then one more. This is my last verse. 2 Corinthians 1 and 10. I want to challenge you to write this down. I want to challenge you to memorize this. I want to challenge you to, during this time, to cement this to your heart. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. And by the way, I shared with you, he has in the past delivered us. But some old boy back home said, it just gets gooder and gooder. I want you to know, this just gets gooder and gooder. Look, he hath delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. He's done it in the past, and he's going to do it again. Now look, on him, we've set our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. He is our hope. And look, he'll continue to deliver us. Get it down. He have delivered us. He will deliver us. And bless God, he's not going to stop delivering us. I remember years ago, I was receiving my first degree, biblical degree, from a little school. The president of the college, before he issued the degree, he said, I'm going to give you the degrees. But he said, young men, you're going into the ministry. And young ladies. But he said, I'll give you the degree. But in your ministry, you might find this song more beneficial to you than anything else that happened here tonight. And an older gentleman got up, and decades ago, he sang this song at my little college graduation. And this is what it says. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, friends, I've learned to depend upon his word. Yes, every day, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed as I'm learning to lean on Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, I can't lean on Jesus because I don't know that Jesus is in my life. I don't have this peace, trust, and tranquility that you're preaching about. But Pastor, I want it. Friend, I've got great news. All the disturbance and all the disarray and all the heartache of Corona, if it brings you to Jesus, that's wonderful. Because what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And I want to say just transparently, if you don't know Jesus, you have bigger problems than Corona. Because what if we live forever here, and then when we die, we're not prepared to meet Jesus, and we're eternally separated from God? That doesn't have to be you. You can have peace in your heart and you can know Jesus. I ask you right now to bow your head and pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess them to you right now. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior, and I thank you for coming into my life. I thank you for saving me. Amen. Now listen to me closely. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I just want to challenge you, whether it be social media, online, or whether it be through simply picking up the phone, I want you to reach out to us, because it's so important that you reach out to somebody. You say it's important for you all, Pastor Benny. It's important for you, friend. So make us aware of your decision. We want to help you. And it's vitally important. No. It's vitally important that you reach out to us on the decision you made. Congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make. And thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.